Thank you, Brother Claiborne. I appreciate that very kind introduction. I don't feel worthy of those words, but I do appreciate the support of these men on the committee. Great to have our General Youth President here with us today. Be in the company of all of you wonderful young people of God. I'd like to turn your attention for the next few minutes to the Word of the Lord, the book of Daniel, chapter 6, and read beginning at verse number 10. Daniel chapter 6, verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He turned to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 137, verse number 1. Psalms 137 and verse number 1. By the rivers of Babylon where we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth. Say, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. For a few minutes this afternoon, I want to preach to you from this subject. Living in a strange land. Living in a strange land. God bless you. You may be seated. The lazy flicker of torchlight illuminates the cobblestone streets of Jerusalem. Within, all is sedate and quiet. It's another routine evening in the history of the nation of Israel. And suddenly interrupting the peace of the night, the blast of a ram's horn shatters the stillness, the serenity of the night, and there is a war cry that is heard from a great army. A great attacking army sends pandemonium through the city streets. Mothers scream and scurry about, gathering their children into the house for protection. Swords raised and weapons of destruction. They run through the city streets, and within a few hours, the entire city of Jerusalem is besieged and held captive by Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible says that King Nebuchadnezzar had conferred with Ashpenaz, the ruler of the eunuchs, and he said, I want you to do something when you get to Israel. I want you to do something when you overthrow Jerusalem. I want you to take some young men and line them up. And I want you to choose the ones who have no blemish, but are skillful in wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and understanding science. And I want you to take them captive and bring them back to the land of Babylon. And so it is from this dramatic beginning that Daniel's book comes into existence. And Daniel is a man that comes from the obscurity in biblical history. As we look at his life, we have no clear indication of his lineage. We are not told who his dad was and who his mother was. We do not know if he had any brothers or sisters. But what we do know from reading this book is far good enough to know that he understood some things about living life in a strange land. The book begins as he is a young man taken captive into Babylon, and it goes all the way through until he is an old man. We find that one thing that Daniel has in the land of Babylon, where he is captured, he has some friends. He's living in a land of the heathen. He's living in a land where harlotry and prostitution is practiced even in the temple. He's living in a land of idolatry. He's living in a land where child sacrifice is practiced. He's living in a land where immorality runs rampant through the city streets of Babylonia. And by the time the book of Daniel closes, he is now an old man. But through it all, we see one consistent, one thing that remains, one thing that never changes, and that is that this man has never lost his integrity, and he has never lost his love for the true Almighty God. How do we live for God in a strange land? It's Daniel that shows us that we can do more than we think we can do. It's Daniel that shows us that we can live for God through any circumstances. We can live for God through any temptation. We can live for God through anything that the devil puts in our face. We can live for God despite our surroundings. You can live for God if your mama don't live for God. You can live for God if your dad don't live for God. You can live for God if you don't have brothers and sisters or family that live for God. We're living in a strange land. And even though you may be all alone, Daniel shows us this one thing. And that is, in the midst of it all, you can make it. You can survive. You can live for God. I've come to preach to the youth of the Western District today that we're serving a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We're serving a God who can empower us to have revival and victory in the midst of a strange land. Praise God. Daniel's got all kinds of lessons for us in his book. He tells us that we can keep a right spirit when everybody else's spirit is foul and wrong. He tells us and proves to us that righteousness not only exalts, but unrighteousness abases and brings down. I've seen the result of young people who've walked away from God, who've come to youth conventions and felt the power of God, but they turned their back on the Lord, and they walked out into a world of sin. And I've seen them come back and stand around the periphery of the church, if you will. And never have I seen a young person in that predicament or condition that the world has not taken its toll on them. Sometimes young ladies come back to unwed mothers, sometimes they come back. You can see the lines of hardness that's taken a toll in their face. You can see the scars that's on their life. I'm telling you today, young person, if you decide to turn away from God, you're going to end up with some scars in your life. There's a price to pay to live for Him, and there's a price to pay to live without Him. And if you live for Him, righteousness will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will bring victory. He will bring peace and joy and the Holy Ghost. But if you choose to live without Him, there's a price to pay. Daniel teaches us that there is much value in godly friends. You see, he had three buddies in that strange land. And those three young men
were a strength to him. Even when he was separated from them, I can imagine that he thought, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, oh, I know they're going to live for God. I know they're not going to compromise their convictions. I know they're going to be strong. I'm telling you today, young person, it's the will of God that you have some godly friends in your life. In every youth group, there's always going to be a Joe Cool who is too cool to cut loose and let God have his way. He's been down at the gym working out, and he's got it all together. He knows just how to comb his hair. He knows just how to put on the dog. He's got the step down, man. He walks into the church. He's got that certain air about him. He's got it all together, and he is cool. But when it comes time to worship God, he's too cool to worship God. She looks so pretty and so cute, and she's got that Pentecostal poop just in the right spot. She spent a lot of time in front of the mirror, but when it comes to personal convictions, she ain't got what it takes, and you won't find her around the altar. Now, I'm not talking about any of you, but in every youth group, there's young people that come to church, and they look Pentecostal on the outside, and they do kind of what it takes to fit in and keep the pastor off of their back, but they're not about to let the Holy Ghost loose in their life and let God have his way. I'm telling you something tonight, today, this afternoon, young people, get yourself some godly friends. Get yourself some friends that you can pray with. Get yourself some friends that's going to encourage you when you're down. There's value in godly friends. And I'll tell you something else. Something that just gets my goat. When young people backslide, and then they come back to church with a low-cut dress, short skirt, long hair on the guy, mustache, looking cool, you can see the world all over them, and they come in like, look at me, I can do it now, I got my own wheels, I got my own ride, and I've seen Pentecostal young people in my own church intimidated by young people like that. They look at them and, oh, they've got it all together. Now they've got their own job. They've got their own career. Hey, they go out and party on Friday night. I'm going to tell you something. When the trumpet sounds, it ain't going to make no difference what they are. I'm telling you, we're out of here. Get yourself some godly friends. Get yourself some friends who have embraced and grabbed a hold of the horns of the altar and dedicated their life. I believe there's some young people here today that are going to make a difference in our world. I believe there's some young people here today that are going to live for God in a strange land. When the world is troubling all around you and Satan comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. You show me a youth group that is full of God's Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost, I'll show you a youth group that is changing their world, that's winning young people to God, that's making an impact on their city. Oh, Jesus, I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Here's what I really want to show you from Daniel's life. When you make the decision to live for God, you might as well expect some controversy.
I like what Brother Kinsey said. This is not a vacation. This is a war. The Apostle Paul said, this is not a vacation. This is a vocation. This is a career. This is a choice. This is something that I focus on. When you're doing right, in other people's eyes, you're doing wrong. When you take a stand for God, you might as well expect a fight. Paul said, a great and effectual door have I opened unto you. Hallelujah. But you are going to suffer affliction, adversaries, persecution. Ye all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to be called a cult. You're going to be called weird. You're going to be called a nerd. You're going to be called a holy roller. You're going to be called a hallelujah. People in your school are going to make fun of you for the way you dress. They're going to make fun of you for the things that you do. And they're going to make fun of you for the things that you don't do. I'm telling you today, young people, we're living in a strange land. This is not the 50s. This is not the day of mom and dad. This is not the day of yesteryear. They had their own battles to fight. They had their own obstacles to overcome. But we're living in the 90s, and things are not getting any better. But yea, they are growing so much worse. I'm telling you today that we are living in a time where 600,000 teenage girls get pregnant every year, and half of them terminate their pregnancies by having abortions. Did you realize today, since the beginning of this service this morning, that 350 abortions have taken place in America already this morning? We're living in dark times. We're living in a strange land. 2 million juveniles arrested every year, and half of them will be arrested again. Suicide, theft, gambling, smoking, drinking, drugs are among the millions, yea, upon millions of incidents that occur all around you every day. Every time you walk down the halls of your high school, you're faced with this junk. You're faced with this devilish, demonic culture that we are living in today. 250,000 teenagers had brought loaded guns to school. 27% of all teenagers between 13 and 17 experience immoral behavior on a regular basis. 4 out of 10 teenagers 13 to 17 watch X-rated pornographic material on a regular basis. And the other day I was driving home from Sunday school listening to the radio, and I heard Mayor Willie Brown pronouncing the marriage of the same-sex marriage. And he said, you may now consummate your marriage. I wanted to puke. I wanted to throw up on the floor. God didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. We're living in a strange land. We're living in a time when even respected entities of government and leadership, as it was mentioned this morning by Brother Claiborne, are preaching to us garbage and trying to tell us that there's fuzzy logic, and trying to tell us there are no absolutes, there are no blacks and whites, it's only all gray matter, and you make up your own mind. But friend, this morning I'm talking to you about a generation that is a portrait of young adults that are adrift amid a sea of turmoil and appealing but yet harmful and devastating alternatives. We're living in a strange land. We're living in a strange land. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I like that word, soldier. I like that word, soldier. Come here, soldier. You're drafted in God's army.
Go ahead, go.
Come here, soldier. You're drafted in the army of God. Come here, soldier. You're drafted in the army of God. Come here, soldier. You're drafted in the Lord's army this morning. Come here, soldier. You're drafted in God's army today. Join your comrades on the platform. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Come here, soldier. Right here. You're drafted in the Lord's army today. Come on down here. In Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you something, young people. I'm excited. I'm fired up. And you know why? It's because of you. It's because of you this week. It's because of what I see and how I see you responding to the word of the Lord. From the start, the very get-go Monday night, I believe there were some of y'all came here fired up. You didn't need to come to youth convention to pray through. You came to youth convention already prayed through. I'm excited. And I believe it's not just by happen chance, but I believe that we are in the midst of the greatest revival that the United Pentecostal Church and God's army is ever going to see. It's not by happen chance that we had Pentecost Sunday last year. It's not by happen chance that we've got Harvest 96 and Spirit 96 this year. But I believe it is a divine orchestration of the Spirit of God that is moving upon His people and calling His people to a greater level in the Spirit to be able and prepare themselves to usher in the greatest revival that the modern day church world has ever known. And I believe you're a part of that. All right, soldiers. Suck in that gut, boy.
Yes, sir.
Straighten up there, boy.
Yes, sir.
10 push-ups. All right, soldier. Straighten up now. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Are you all ready to go to war?
Yes, sir.
How about you?
Yes, sir.
10 push-ups. Soldier, are you ready to go into warfare?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now I'm going to tell you something. Ain't every day going to be like youth convention. There's not going to be 4,000 kids screaming around you next week. There's not going to be a Holy Ghost outpouring every day at your school. You see, soldiers, this is not a vacation. The general already told us we're involved in warfare. And you're getting ready to be launched back into a strange land. It's a land where all kinds of things are happening. Are you ready for that?
Yes, sir.
How about it? Are you ready for it? Yes, sir. All right, now I'm going to tell you some things that's going to help you. Number one, you've got to learn to identify your enemy. Do you understand that? I can't hear you. I still can't hear you. That's better. Problem is with some young people, they never learn to identify the enemy. But they live for God like they ride a merry-go-round. What are you saying? What's a merry-go-round? A merry-go-round is a thing that plays real sweet music. Oh, as long as the music's playing, I'm happy.
and we get on our little horses, and we ride the merry-go-round. Yay, look at me, Daddy. I'm on top of the world. I'm riding the merry-go-round. And you go up and down, and up and down, and up and down. And Brother Shoemaker told us today how to deal with life's up and downs. But a merry-go-round goes up and down. And I've always noticed some strange phenomenon about a merry-go-round. It always seems to come right back to the same spot. Hi, Mommy. Hi, Mommy. Around in circles, up and down. Listen to the pretty music, but you're coming right back around to the same problem that tripped you up last time. The devil really don't mind you coming to youth convention and listening to the music. And even involving yourself in worship. The devil doesn't really care if you come up here and jump and shout and roll on the floor and do all of that stuff. As long as he can keep you on the merry-go-round. Because he knows when you leave youth convention, you're going to come right back to the same spot. The same bump in the road that chucked you off of the boat last time. It's going to come around again. So what's the key? Soldiers, the key is identify your enemy. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
I can't hear you.
Yes, sir.
Identify your enemy. Next time that old devil comes around and he puts that same temptation. Now, that's a whole different message right there, isn't it? There's a lot of different temptations, but the devil's got your number. He's got the exact problem, the exact weakness that you endured and maybe didn't overcome last time. He's got it waiting for you again. I'll guarantee you it's not even within the first week. I'll guarantee you it's going to happen within the first day. After you get back home, if you've been struggling with rock and rap and even country music in your life, and you've got those CDs in the cabinet, when you get back home, your first temptation is going to be to go back to it. Whatever it is, I'm telling you, soldiers, identify the enemy, because it's not always going to be as easy as it is today at youth convention, but you've got to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldier, get a good haircut. Soldier, leave the scissors out of your hair. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Soldier, stay out of the movie theater.
Yes, sir.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Soldier, stay out of the lovey-dovey book section. The hot and humid romance section of the grocery store. Do you understand, soldier?
Yes, sir.
Why are we telling you this? It's because there's coming a time when it's going to be hard. You're going to be all alone at high school when everybody else is dressing out for PE and you're wearing your jean skirt. I'm glad they're on their feet, but they ain't going to be on their feet there. You're going to be on the battlefield, and you're going to be all alone and by yourself. And when they offer and pass the joint your way, and they offer you an invitation with the high school sweetheart to come to the Friday night prom, it's going to be hard when this sweetness cheerleader walks up to you and starts showing you some attention, or Miss Stud football player comes and shows you some attention. it's not going to be quite as easy to shout and talk in tongues then as it is now. But thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, because we're living in a strange land. We're living in a strange land. But Daniel proved to us in God's word that a young person can be all alone in a heathen, idolatrous, ungodly, filthy, rank, rotten society and still hold up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ and live for God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. But nobody can petition any other god or man for 30 days. And the king was honored. Yeah, I signed it. And so Daniel's buddies said, now we're going to put the heat on him. We're going to see if he's really made of this. If he has anything more than just this surface show. We're going to test his integrity. We're going to see what he's really made of now. And so the king's herald went into the courtyard and said, hear ye, hear ye. The declaration of the king says that for the next 30 days, no man, woman, or any such creature shall petition any god or man. God steps down to where Daniel's at and begins to walk with him at this crucial time. Daniel, he walks out of his office as Secretary of State. He shuts the door behind him. He walks through the lofty corridors of the palace. He walks out into the courtyard, into the dusty street. He walks down the lane to that one familiar spot that he called home. He walked in there. He walked straight to a window that was in that household. It was a window that was already open. He kneeled there, and the Bible says three times a day, Daniel communicated with his God. I want to tell you something, young person, that is so very important, not only to your spirituality and revival in your heart this week, but it is something that is so important for you next week and the months to come. If that is this one thing, you have got to learn to take some time in prayer. You have got to develop a relationship with God that is for yourself. You can't depend on the choir to get you excited every Sunday night so you leave there feeling good about your salvation. But you have got to open the windows of your soul toward Jerusalem and communicate with God. That is the reason. And that is the reason why that Daniel was able to survive in a strange land. He had some godly friends, and he had a relationship with his God that on a daily basis, he walked into the corridors of his spiritual domain, and he communed with his Creator. I'm telling you something, if you'll develop a prayer life, if you'll develop a relationship with God for yourself, there ain't a devil in hell that can tear you apart. And this is the key to living in a strange land. This is what it takes to live for God in a strange land. Oh, King, I'm sorry, but you might as well have told the sun it couldn't shine. You might as well have told the stars that they couldn't twinkle in the night. Because when I leave this place of my profession, when I leave this place of my contact that I have to do and be a part of in this physical life, and I walk out of the halls of Babylon, I'm going back to a place that I know so very well. It's a place of holiness. It's a place of communication with God. And the Bible says that his windows were open toward Jerusalem. It was Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the magical, mystical place in the heart of every Israelite. Jerusalem wasn't just the city of Daniel, but it was the city of David. It was the city of God.
It was the place where the temple was. It was the place where the brazen laver was. It was the place where the table of showbread was. And the golden candlesticks and the cherubims reached across the mercy seat. It was the place where the Holy of Holies was. It was a place where the Ark of the Covenant was. The literal Shekinah glory of God that dwelt therein. And there is great significance to the fact that He opened His window toward Jerusalem. What are you saying this morning, Brother Cantrell? Daniel had a focus. His focus was not on Babylon. His focus was not on his surroundings. His focus was on Jerusalem, the city of God, the presence of God. Oh, young person this morning, I want you to know something today. As we sit here in the Bakersfield Civic Auditorium, there is something that is far greater than the four walls of this civic center. There's something that's greater than what we can feel and what we can touch. There's something that's greater than what we can see. But when we develop a relationship with God and we turn our attention and our focus toward heaven, the New Jerusalem, the place where the Shekinah glory of God exists, in the inner sanctum of His presence, there's where we find our strength. There's where we find our existence. There's where we find the power to overcome. Living in a stream. As the musicians come and I close. You see, it was Jerusalem. That was the place where the Messiah was revealed. It was Jerusalem that was the home of the New Testament church. It was Jerusalem that was the home of apostolic power. And I believe this morning, this afternoon, that if this generation of Pentecostal young people are going to impact the vast, strange land that we occupy, is going to be because that we have had a reunion with Jerusalem. Oh, Mr. Gas Station Attendant, you may see me pumping my gas today, but I want you to know there's something more to me than meets the eye. Oh, Mrs. Checker at the Burger King cash register, I'm here ordering food today for the physical body, but there's more than just the physical body that's here today. There's a spiritual body that exists here today. Oh, Mr. Grocer, I'm buying groceries at the store here today, but there's more to me than you can see. Mr. Postman, you may deliver the mail to 2060 North 11th, Hanford, California, but I've got an address that's gone far beyond there. I've got another residence. I know that my Lord has prepared a place for me. He said He was going away to prepare a place for me. And you look around me, you see what I'm going through. You see the test that I'm facing. Oh, Daniel, because you stood and you took a stand for your God, surely they gave you a plaque on the youth convention platform, or had you testify at senior camp or a sectional youth rally, or there was some great event that happened as a result of you taking a stand for God, right? Wrong. It bought them a one-way ticket into the lion's den, friend. I'm telling you, don't expect that just because you made some commitments here that you're going home and God's going to just wipe out every problem, that there may be a den of lions waiting for you. But when those men cast Daniel into the lion's den, he didn't have to run to the yellow pages and look up G-O-D and find out what his phone number was. That all he had to do was hit the redial button, because he'd been talking to him the day before. and the day before that, and the day before that. The Bible doesn't even say that Daniel prayed when he was in the lion's den. He didn't have to pray then, because God already had his number, and God was taking care of him, and God knew what was going on in his life. We're living in a strange land, but God will turn your lion into a pillow. God will turn your adversary into a stepping stone if you can somehow learn to establish a communication and a relationship on a personal basis. Oh, this world is not my home. I'm just the passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't. I don't want to. I don't want to feel at home in this strange land. But I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't live at home in this world anymore. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home. Anybody want to go to the window this morning? Anybody want to go to that place, that inner sanctum of your heart, and open your heart to the Lord once again? As they continue to sing, we're going to open the altar areas. We want you to step out this morning and renew that vow, that commitment to the Lord once again. Let's rejoice in Jesus, for he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He knows where you're at. He knows exactly what you go through. He knows the trials that you face. He knows the temptations that you will encounter. He knows the struggles that go on in your life. We're living in a strange land, and it's not going to get any better. But we're pilgrims and strangers in this land. Oh Lord, you know, and like you, heaven's not my home. Then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me. In this world anymore. So you know,
I have no,
yes, hallelujah. Then Lord, what will I do? The angels that you need from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know, I have no friend like you. Heaven's not my home. Oh, and I can't live in this world anymore. That's it. Glorify the Lord all over the building today. Let's worship him for just a few moments here. Let's glorify the name of the Lord, for he is great and greatly to be praised. Exalt the name of Jesus.
You know,
lift him up, lift him up, offer high praises unto the Lord your God.